Hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 82 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is March 2nd. And yeah, it's a Monday. I usually record put these out on Fridays, but today it is a Monday. I have a bunch of episodes planned for this week, including a special PAX East themed episode. Potentially a bonus episode that I was supposed to do last month. You're all very, very lucky. Now, that being said, although Black History Month is technically over, we're still going to do some cool Black History stuff because Black History never stops. You get it? You got it? Great. That being said, once again, as part of our Black History Month here at the Weekly Cooldown, we'll be doing things a little different and chatting about our experiences as Black gamers and talking a little bit about Black gamer history and future. We're gonna skip the recap since it's just a Monday and there's potential for more stories to drop this week. But of course, if you want to chat more about any headline from any point in time, maybe last week, or you got some comments that you want to make about any headlines at all, tweet at me at KamiJaceGaming or at WKCooldown on Twitter. Or join the Discord and let me know all about them. Let's talk about it. You know, guys, you know me by now. I talk too much and I like to talk. So just talk to me and I will talk to you. And together, we'll just be one happy talking family. All right. Now, there will be a question of the week this week, so be sure to check that out on Twitter as well. Okay, now that I got all that out of the way, I have two really cool friends that are here. They've been waiting patiently while I jabber. So we're going to introduce them right now. Please welcome Will and Dakota.
Hey, Kami.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. So we were supposed to do this last week, but unfortunately I had some a whole lot of issues going on, actually.
You know, life happens sometimes. It just, things get in the way and you just have to keep on moving through them.
And I'm like, yeah, everything's okay now though, right?
Yes.
Everything's all situated.
Yes. I'm breathing, I'm here, I'm in the present.
Wonderful.
Well, there you go.
I feel great. Do you guys feel great? I feel great.
I feel pretty great.
Same.
Great. Huh? Great. We're all great. So, you both don't have podcasts, do you?
Funny
do you?
Enough,
I don't actually
we
know.
Used to. We used to.
Oh, yeah.
Will and I used to work together at a company called Yellow Pike Media, and we were co-hosts of something called the YPM Roundup, where we talk about gaming news, social media news, marketing news, and just have a great old time ranting and chatting, and it was awesome. I mean, I thought it was awesome.
Oh, it was awesome. It was very awesome. And so it was funny, as you were introducing it, or before the show, you were saying, oh, this should be the easiest, you know, kind of type thing. And I'm like, well, we're used to it by now. So, this is like old times.
Yep, right just in. Like old times.
You'll fit exactly. Right in. Let's talk about then what you guys do then.
Sure.
So you guys did some, it sounds like you guys are really kind of in the video game kind of community sphere area right now. So what do you both do?
Yeah. Will, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I could go ahead and start. Well, I'm still at YPM Yellow Pike Media, where it's a digital marketing and advertising company that specializes in video games. I have been a gamer all of my life, ever since the PlayStation and Nintendo 64. Mm. But I stuck with PlayStation all the way through my life. So it's just being able to take that knowledge that I have as a gamer and being able to be in a field that I am truly passionate about and, you know, really helping brands understand, you know, the perspective of the gamer. And, you know, if you really want to appeal to this audience, you know, we're all about authenticity and, you know, just really make sure that you're genuine in your approach because we do not like fake people. To just put it straightforward. So
no fake people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's currently what I do. What about you, Dakota? His is a lot more exciting.
I'm a lifelong gamer, much like Will. Going on, oof, 10 plus years of playing WoW,
Oh, geez.
in playing
Oh,
all sorts
boy.
of games for however long. And currently, I'm working at Marvel. I'm on their video games team there, on the
Whoa.
creative side. So that being said, all opinions are my own. Are my own on this podcast. I'm not here as a representative of them. But yes,
Absolutely.
I on the creative team there. So I do a lot of editing, writing. Looking through all sorts of materials to make sure that they are representative of the Marvel brand and our characters just the way that we want them to be.
That is awesome. That's very cool.
Thank you,
And
thank
somehow you've landed here
you.
at my sh at no, my show.
I am excited to be here. I'm always looking to talk about what it's like to be in the gaming space as a POC and just getting into all that stuff. So.
Well, let's get into it then. So let's talk about, well, we've heard Will's been a gamer from the PS1, Nintendo 64 era days. Dakota, where did you start? How did you
Oof.
start?
All right. How did I start? I got into the gaming space when I was in kindergarten, and I was first game was Pokemon Red, I believe.
Nice.
Aside from games like Tetris and things like that I just
Sure.
first delving into story-based gaming was Pokemon. Still a lifelong fan, still playing games as they come out. Sword and Shield was all right.
Oh. Oof.
To go further into that, I've always been looking to play games that are really unique when it comes to the story they tell or the world that they present. So when it comes to what I'm playing now, well, we can get into what I recommend to play now, but I'm always looking for things that tell a unique kind of story or represent characters in a way that I have yet to see them. And then, interesting gameplay, but
Right.
we'll get into that. Love League of Legends still, even though I've taken a break from playing because it was absorbing too much of my life. But they had such a diverse cast of characters and heroes, and the world building they do over there is just awesome. So, loving all that.
League is one of those games, kind of like any other kind of very fast-paced MMO that's happening right now, or just the multiplayer experience overall, where if you don't commit like hours to that game,
So true.
you'll be okay, but not any better than okay.
Yep.
That's
That was it. And I just don't have that kind of time.
yeah, that's me and
Exactly.
have a love-hate relationship with Overwatch for that
Yep.
exact reason.
Yep.
So you're both lifelong gamers from around I would hazard around the same age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
PS1, Game Boy Color, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the experience as people of color, right? So as a child, you might not have thought much about it, but like growing up and really experiencing what it was like to be both a gamer and a black person, or a person of color, what thoughts do you have on that?
Will, you want to kick off? I've been.
I mean, for me, it was one of those things, just as you said, as a young person, I didn't notice. I just wanted to play the game. It wasn't until, I mean, a lot later where, the topic of racing games and, seeing once, like, because I think about it back to where it was, original Mortal Kombat, I think it was Mortal Kombat 2 where Jax was introduced. And, just for me, I didn't know or I didn't notice how big of a thing that is, to have that, have an African American male, in the game. And of course, with the times and, with the movie coming out, I'm pretty sure we could go back and look at that movie and say, ooh, that was, maybe they shouldn't have had him do that or anything. But just fast forwarding into now and finally understanding, how important representation is, if anything, just to, say, hey, even in fictional worlds, in the real world, the world is diverse. You can't,
Yes.
have this, you know, create this world where it's like, hey, surprisingly, you know, everyone is of the same race and everyone just seems to have like, you know, the same commonality. It's like it's not realistic, even in a
Same
world of
skin
fantasy.
color, same body type, just see it all the time and
Right.
just awful.
Exactly. So whereas before, you know, and I admittedly before I'm like, well, I mean, it's nice, but I don't understand, you know, for myself, I don't understand why it's such a big deal. But, you know, really getting into it and, you know, I really, you know, think having discussions, you know, with other friends and like-minded individuals, it's like, okay, even if it's just the smallest bit of representation, it matters.
Yep.
And so Dakota, take it away.
Yeah. So for me, I've always approached things from the storytelling perspective. And when I was younger, I was drawn to stories of fantastic universes and different creatures and monsters and blah blah blah. And as I got older, part of the reason that I started raising an eyebrow was for two reasons, really. The stories all ended up feeling much too similar. They all started feeling the same in one way or another. And whether it was through story or through character representation, it just felt too similar. And then I started noticing that there were really odd instances of representation that it makes me question whether it was worth being in there to begin with. Now, this is a controversial opinion, mildly, but when it comes to Final Fantasy VII, Barrett always made me raise an eyebrow because of the straight musculature black dude with a gun built into his hand. And I was just like, this is a odd. This is odd. And even when I was younger, I was like, this is weird. I don't know how I feel about this. And so I don't know if it was the fact that I appreciate that the characters of color is in there or how they were being represented turned me off. But that kind of stuff made me start to keep a larger eye out for how characters were represented, characters of color were represented, whether they were just being included for the sake of having a person of color and they were being interpreted in a very weird way, or if it was for, just to cross that marker off, or if it was authentic, if someone was like, hey, this is the kind of story that I really want to tell, and then I'd appreciate that, but.
Right. It's funny you bring up Barrett because I think I said it on a previous episode where, yes, he's there, right? We appreciate that he's there and it feels good to look at him. However, there's also this really interesting point that you brought up, of course, where he has a gun, not like as a I mean, it's a weapon.
Yeah,
He needs to fight. Got
right.
it. Why is it in his arm?
Yeah.
Why is it attached to his arm? Can't he have a sword like anyone else? Or I don't know. Can we do gun blades again? Like,
Gunblade's always nice.
if you want to, right? If you want to give him a weapon, you just did gun blades like one game. No, you're gonna do. No, I skipped one. Final Fantasy VIII was the one with gun blades. But I mean, like, either way,
Yeah.
give him a gun blade. Like, come on. So I resonate with that.
Yeah.
I don't remember if Saz from 12, I don't, what was his, or was it 12? Yeah. What was his weapon?
Oh God. I stopped playing after Ted. Like, let me look.
Right.
I hope he did not also have a gun because we'll have a serious, he did. We'll have serious issues, Square Enix. We got to talk, man.
Out of all the weapons that, you know, and
He is
again,
a
it's like in a fictional universe where you can create your, you know, these wild and crazy weapons, you're just, hey, let's more bullets.
dual wielding gun user. Are
Yeah.
you kidding me?
Yep. And I think a big reason that things like this just tend to fly under the radar or, fly through any sort of screening is because during that time, and to some extent now, the representation behind the scenes just isn't there. That there aren't people that are giving it a scrutinizing eye to say, hey, that feels weird. Let's not say that. Or, hey, that feels very strange. Can we push it in a different direction or do something more unique or that doesn't lean into this established stereotype? But it's really, it's, we can do all we can when we're in there, but from the outside looking in, it seems like that people aren't they aren't caring, but it's more that people aren't there to care. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
A friend of mine actually said on our last episode that representation in the game is fine, but we also need people behind the scenes. It's probably that there was no one behind the scenes thinking, you know what, we gave the last black guy we put in our game a gun. Can we give this one something else? A staff? Maybe he can be a healer.
Yeah. Yeah, just push it in a different direction to something we haven't seen before. But it's as it is in real life, it's easy for people to fall into stereotypes and just represent and do what they know. It's harder to try something new and push it in a different direction.
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I didn't play 7 or 12 very much.
Are you going to play the remake?
No. I have such little care for it, but like I recognize that everyone else is excited for it. And the fact that I can't be as excited with them makes me not want to play it anymore. Yep, so I'm just like, I don't want to do it. But I was wondering, because there's something else that I think is missing from representation, especially with black male characters, which feels weird to say. But I think that for the most part, the supporting roles that are in, especially kind of like Final Fantasy games, RPGs, stuff like that, they always have like hinted at least love interests.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever felt that about any black character in an RPG. And I'm wondering, and maybe I'm wrong, but do Barrett or Saz have love interests in their games?
Definitely not Barrett, but well, at least I never felt it. People can ship who they want, but through play,
sure.
But through play, I'd never experienced that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no.
The story was a cloud focus.
My head as well.
Oh, and then Barrett leaned really into the revolutionary side of things. Then I don't know. It's like anger was his character, but that's just that's a whole other topic of you know. But yeah, when it came to love interests, it just. Yeah, I can see that I have not found one in an RPG that was really fully developed.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean it that definitely could be the input, but again, it comes to the representation angle. And now you have character games coming out nowadays that push representation into all sorts of different angles, where the love interest can be anyone. You can go into dating sim mode and then be dating monsters. And then, or what's that other one? That that daddy simulator? I forget what it is.
Great game.
Great game.
That is.
Perfect game. Nothing wrong with it.
10/10.
Yeah.
Win all the awards.
But yeah, you're giving you give all that time and care into all the characters, and each character is indicative of a different, you know, circle that exists in our world. So when it goes into an RPG, you have to think about what those characters are doing and how they go about living their lives. And you have to expect people to feel attached to characters that you are including for the sake of representation. So if you don't flesh it out, it's going to have backlash that's even worse than if you didn't have them to begin with.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah. There's a good point in that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, you know what, Barrett says... You're here already. We're happy you're here.
Yeah.
We accept you into the fold. But to that point, let's get on to the theme we thought about here. So there has to be a better way to reflect race in video games.
Mm-hmm.
How do we think we can go about doing that?
Let's
go right for the heart.
Will, do you want to kick off with thoughts? I want to compose mine in my head.
I'm in the middle of trying to compose it as well, because, I mean, from what we've seen so far, I mean, I think we're doing good. I think there's some games, and by one that I really think is doing spectacular is Apex Legends.
Sure.
You know, I think it's just important to if you're going to represent it, and I know we've mentioned it before, you know, it's just all about authenticity. Exactly. You know, you can't just like, hey, we're going to throw in this character and, you know, just, okay, just give them a darker skin tone and then just let that be that. You know, mm-hmm. I think what Apex does is so, you know, wonderful. It's just like Battle Royale. I was like, Battle Arena, Battle, what? So the battle, that genre, you're not supposed to, at least, you know, before Apex, you're not supposed to have an attachment to the character because they're disposable. It's sure. 100 drop, you're dropping, you know, you're just trying to be the last man in. But Apex really makes you care about the characters and you care about, you know, which legend you're selecting. And I feel like a lot of that is because of, you know, whether it's, you know, you identify with the race, you identify with the sexuality, you may just identify with the story and, you know, mm-hmm. what that character went through. Their, you know, their backstories in those videos are amazing and they're actually building up the characters. So, you know it's happened to me a couple of times where I'm like, you know, usually I wouldn't choose this character, but, you know, I can identify with at least one thing, you know, with, you know, one aspect of their story. So I'm going to take the time to, you know, play that character, you know, get the feel for it a little bit more. And, you know, and then there's others where I'm like, you know, Lifeline was one of, like, the characters that I just played with because I'm like, you know, straight on person of color, just amazing. I feel like mm-hmm. they helped it greatly. But also it's, you know, she's a healer and it's funny, you know, we've mentioned before, it's like, okay, we're giving characters guns. Why can't they be healers? You know, it doesn't have to be offense all the time.
Absolutely.
Let them be the one to, you know, I am bringing you back up. I'm bringing you to life. I'm getting you back into the battle. Mm-hmm. Thank me. You know,
it's the only reason healers. I'm doing it, by the way.
Exactly. So short answer is just be authentic and, you know, really tell a genuine story that is relatable to, you know, that history of that race or that sexuality, that individual. Just be authentic.
So this actually speaks to something that Cliff Bleszinski kind of said. Did you happen to hear about this? It happened couple weeks ago, maybe at the beginning of February.
I didn't catch wind of it.
No.
Okay, so I'll briefly talk about it because we spoke about it before, but I just want to bring it into this conversation because it kind of fits. On Instagram, he shared a picture of himself for some reason and then started ranting about how his game Lawbreakers failed, partly due to the diversity of his video game.
He called it
the game was it was too political, quote unquote. Now here's what I'm hearing, however, as I'm listening to Will, it seems like he might have been trying to say that perhaps he was being too kind of like pandering to his fans, I suppose. Not that I think that it's terrible to put people of color in just because, but it's like, based on what he said here, instead of the story being this game looks neat, it became this game with the quote woke bro trying to push his hacky politics on us with gender neutral bathrooms. Now it's a terrible way to put it because he's like,
well,
I don't know, stupid, but
from a person,
but it does seem like he's pandering.
From a person that got to experience a bit of Lawbreakers, that is not my take as to why that game didn't succeed to the extent that it did. But
yeah, he did go on later to say that, like, of course there was marketing and timing and, you know, being on PlayStation over Xbox and other factors were there. Mm-hmm. But he did feel the need for some reason to, again, post a picture of himself and then go on a complete Instagram, like, deep dive into his own failures. So
look, you got to do what you got to do to let go of all your pent up rage. But no, to put it lightly, I don't think in representation in games in games like that is a make or break element. It is an important thing to have, but I don't think that is the thing that can be, a failure can be hinged upon.
Right.
So to talk about representation in how we approach it going better, I have two different approaches. I have the approach that I do for my current work, and then I have the approach that I do for my own personal writing and personal storytelling. So for work, because we work with such established characters like Storm and Luke Cage and T'Challa, it is a important factor in authentic representation, but it goes beyond just, oh, are they being represented faithfully to the comics? It is, are they being represented, are they being accurate representations of the times? So there's a bit more scrutiny if they are ever in relationships with other people versus them speaking to their own power, because it's not like there's so much that's weighted in race when Storm is casting a lightning bolt. It's more in how does she interact with her fellow X-Men and things like that. So that's the important thing to look out for, but it's not the thing that makes or breaks the game when we're looking at that. To comment on my own personal storytelling, though, when it comes to representation, this is an exercise that I do and to test a character's strength and to make sure that I have proper inclusion. I remove all markers of race and gender when I'm writing them, and then I approach it later. So I write backstory, I write motivations based on how their life has gone, and then I weave in more important things, especially for fantasy stuff, because in my fantasy worlds, the history of racism can be applied to different races or different types of fantasy beings. It doesn't necessarily need to be, the slavery existed, and oppression, blah, blah, blah. So it's however I want to layer in that representation, I do it later. Because building it from the ground up, if you aren't in the space, leaves room for error and inclusion of stereotypes, especially if you don't have anybody checking you. So if you're like, I want to have a black character, okay, cool. And then you incorporate it based on your interpretation of what it means to be black in America or wherever in the world, then you leave a huge room for error to not have that proper checking method, for personal writing at least. So
that's a good point.
So for me, even because I'm obviously not fluent in every single racial interaction, I write a person and then I layer in everything else after that. So it's not like their entire existence is hinged upon their faith, their color, their whatever. It is, they are who they are, they have their own motivations and dreams, and they're just this stuff. That is what it means, because it for me to have to look forward into how to represent that stuff in games authentically, because not every character lives their life. They live their life with a color, but they don't wake up every single moment and go, what's that song? I'm black, y'all. I'm black, y'all. I'm black, and black, right. And I'm black. They don't
black, y'all.
Yeah, it's I am this. And I still have to go to work at 9 a.m. It's like, absolutely. You just keep going. It's not the thing that hinges that character together. It's the authenticity is them. The authenticity is just them being that character, period. And then not it informing the rest of how they behave in the world. Obviously, there is room for that approach and to delve into that storytelling, but that's not their core being. I think that's when you have room for people being like, oh, that character is just the representation of the angry black man or the however.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, did you guys watch Static Shock when you were kids?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I watched some episodes.
Yeah. Static Shock is one of those things where he's a black superhero, but first and foremost, he's a superhero. Then they kind of used certain episodes to tackle the issue of race. So it's, I like that idea. So it's like the character is a superhero And then there's maybe 20 episodes of them just doing superhero things. But then the 21st episode is like him confronting his XYZ issue about being black or some, you know, racist is making fun of him or something like that. You know, you kind of have that layer. And then it just kind of continues on with like, okay, now he's a superhero again. Like, you know what I mean? I like the way that you kind of layer in the identity parts of the character after the fact.
Yeah. And I think that with those layers of identity, you have room to tell even more in-depth stories. If they are just the black character, then they have to handle that all on their own. But if they are, as you said, a superhero and black, you have all of the other super elements to handle, to talk through, to enjoy. And then everything else is even more meaningful because they are a superhero, but they also have to deal with all this other stuff that's happening in the world.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it. Wonderful.
Yeah.
What games... Here's a question I had on my mind that I thought would be fun.
All right.
What game... Let's see. Let's put it this way. Is there a game you can think of that would be... Let's not say improved, but that you wish had either some kind of representation or better representation?
You have to start on this one because I have to think about this one.
That's fine. I can start.
If you can't think of one, I have one right off the bat.
Oh, okay. You know, it sounds like you came in prepared. So for that topic. So let's hear yours, and then we'll get ours together.
Great. So one of my favorite games of all time, as people know, is Resident Evil. I play it constantly. I stream it constantly. Mm-hmm. But there's still like an underlying layer of kind of sadness with me. And it's because in Resident Evil 1, we get one black character, and he is only ever seen because he's a zombie and he's already dead. It's great. Cool. Resident Evil 2, we get Marvin. Marvin is he's very cool. Immediately plays like a father figure to both Claire and Leon. He's like, listen, I'm here to protect you. I'm the police officer. Listen to what I say. Do this, do that. And in the remake, we got a much better version of him, a little more in depth. And even in the Outbreak Files, which were separate games for the PS2, you get to see more of that kind of caring, nurturing side of him. But he does ultimately die and also turn into a zombie. Mm-hmm. Cool. It isn't until, let me think, Resident Evil 5, actually, where we get a black female character, woman character, who is a excellent representation of what it's like to not only be a black female, but to also be kind of a black female in charge, right? She's very powerful. She's a good, like, quote-unquote sidekick to Chris in that one. However, I feel that there was some kind of very strange thing happening because I feel like the game wasn't meant to be a co-op game. It was meant to be Chris's game. But then they said, oh, he's in Africa, so let's give them a black character to go with. Which it doesn't, is not better, by the way. It is not better at all. However, that being said, and I've spoke about it with a friend of mine who is from the same area where Sheva is supposed to be from. And I can't remember where that is. But he always says that Sheva's representation is very strong. It's very kind of, he said it just feels good to see her on the screen, and I don't disagree with that. However, from after 5, like, there's no more. We don't get another one. That's it. We just get that one. So, as much as I love Resident Evil, I think you can place any black character in for any of the main characters, and you will still have a great series, a really great game. Resident Evil 7 would have been pretty interesting. I think to have a black protagonist. Maybe Resident Evil 8. I don't know. Maybe we'll get the in the next one. But maybe. That's the one game I've always felt like, oh, Capcom, you missed it again.
I think this opens a door to an interesting little point of what it's like to, black characters in horror games, because this reminds me of what is his name, James Wheeler in Silent Hill Homecoming, and like he was okay, sheriff, got it, doing stuff, okay, fighting, got it, dies immediately, okay, all right, yeah. Okay, well, okay, not immediately, he dies in multiple endings, but whatever. I think the thing that is interesting to talk about is the difference in what it means to be African American, and then how it means to be seen in horror genres to begin with. But we can go back to that after I talk about a game that I think will be better with racial interpretation. And for me, I think it would be so. I'm going to have to extrapolate to something that's more than just, like, I think tackling the issue of race in general and racial difference is important in fantasy games, but not necessarily through the same lens that is into the real world, where it's not like, oh, black people in fantasy and white people in fantasy or whatever. It's a interpretation of, you know, interspecies racism, orcs versus humans, and things like that. And I think that as much as I love the game, World of Warcraft does have opportunity to tackle a lot of that stuff, and they just don't. They just leave it, and they're just like, okay, they have, like, their each character has their indicative interpretations and their reflections in the real world, but they never go into depth onto how they can, what it means to be prejudiced in that world. And there's so much opportunity, just because it is an MMORPG, you can talk to characters, you can just get that storyline, this, that, the other, and you can have people to go back and forth on which characters represent what. Like, people be like, oh, the undead are the prejudiced ones, no, it's the goblins because XYZ and their shrew ways and blah, 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 and blah. But nothing has ever been built into that kind of story. And so I'm just like, there's opportunity there to talk about that or to reflect that within fantasy. And I'd like to see that, but that's just me, because I'm the guy that sits there and just goes through questline and questline and questline. And I'm just like, all right, well, let me read all that text. And nope.
Right.
Right.
Right. Wow, step your game up.
Will, do you have one?
Will, have.
Yeah, I honestly don't. And I mean, I honestly think it's just because it's the types of games that I play that I feel like they're already, there's representation in there, but it's not to a level of, hey, well, we're going to, you know, go beyond and, you know, really, like, explain this character, create this massive, you know, backstory for this character while neglecting this other character. I mean, Dakota knows I'm a big fan of Destiny.
Yes, you are.
And, right, and with that game, I'm thinking, you know, okay, the way that they approach the story, which, as I'm thinking about it, it's very interesting. It's all focused on, you know, in game, you know, now that they have their ducks more in a row, it's all about power and what you have to do and what you're doing in the world of Destiny to create your own legacy. Surprisingly, I feel like it's the feelings that you get as a person playing the game, that's where more of, you know, you being your character, what you're doing in game, that you're doing in creating your legacy. Therefore, for you to reach those milestones and say, hey, I went through everything. I went through, you know, this, that, and I was able to do this accomplishment in game. It doesn't matter what happens in game. It's what happened outside of the game that influences that accomplishment and why it means so much to you. And I think it's very interesting because, you know, they do have, I mean, they have three different, you know, what they call races, but not in terms of like, you know, black, white, Asian. It's more of, you know, you got the awoken, you got the human, you got a robot. But even in there, you are able to create, you know, people of color. Or if you want to avoid that, you just go and, you know, just do a robot.
Make a purple person.
Exactly. But even in there, you know, you don't get so much history behind, you know, any of the characters. If you do, they do have a lot of lore, and they have a lot of, you know, like different lore books and different unlockables that you can get a sense of the world before the world of Destiny. But even then, it's, you know, they don't tackle on, you know, they don't tackle race relations like head on. It's just, as Dakota mentioned before, it's through, okay, well, you know, we're not going to say head on race relations here, but, you know, there's this conflict between this alien race that, if you really want to sit down, think about it, go into that, you know, you can create a line that says, okay, this is very similar to, you know, what the US is, you know, approaching other foreign countries and how they're handling that, and, you know, race relations and everything. But, you know, that was just one of the games where I was thinking, I'm like, well, that's very interesting that rather than, you know, tackling it in game, you know, Bungie is very, they're very, you know, open and diverse. And I think it's very interesting that they've decided, okay, we're not going to expand it in the game. And for some reason or some way, I'm not even sure if they knew about it, but it's more about the character or the person playing the character and why those accomplishments are, you know, why that means to them. And of course, they're always, you know, celebrating the community, and whenever someone does something accomplishing, you know, whether, you know, they're African American, LGBT, you know, they don't stray away from acknowledging that. They're very, you know, congrats, Guardian, and it's just great.
I'm into it. I like it. All right. Well, asked and answered. I love it. All right. Well, so we're going to move on to the one story that I picked out for this week for us,
Cool.
for this episode.
Oh.
And that is the story of the 16-year-old FaZe Clan member known
Oh,
as
FaZe
Dubs.
Clan. Oh.
It's a wonderful topic.
I feel like FaZe Clan is a never-ending supply of insanity across the board. Like, and all their, not all, multiple of their members, just something here, something there, everywhere, every other week. I'm just like, what
It's
is
ridiculous.
happening?
It's constantly ridiculous. And you know what? My thought about it is, and maybe it's maybe a little naive of me to say this, but they are hiring kids for the most part, like 15 and 16 year olds. And at one point an 11 year old player was on their team.
Oh, wow.
These are problems, in my opinion. I understand that Fortnite especially is kind of geared to people that age. However, if you're going to put them in a setting in which they have to be at some point are going to be like career superstars to other people. They can't be this young. Or, I mean, they have to start out as like interns, paid interns. They still have to be paid. You pay them if they're working. That's me being angry. But if you have not heard about this story, 16-year-old FaZe Clan member known as Dubs has apologized for saying the N-word while streaming on Twitch and has been suspended indefinitely by FaZe to attend sensitivity training. In his
Sorry,
apology,
keep
Dubs
going.
tweeted, in his apology, Dubs tweeted, quote, "I can't even describe how sorry I am. I did not intend to be hurtful in any way, but what I said was still hurtful, insensitive, and wrong. The word shouldn't have been in my vocabulary, and I apologize from the bottom," and then, like, he missed the word "of my heart" "to everyone I offended using it. You deserve better," end quote. Dubs' team, FaZe Clan, said it will, quote, "not tolerate any form of hate speech and that all members will get sensitivity training proactively."
Okay. All right. Will, can I take this one for the opening comment?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, go ahead, start, because you know
I have. Oh, my God. Okay. So I have multiple things to say here. But I think the first one I want to say is, let's say I am a member of FaZe Clan, and I'm totally chill, but I have to attend sensitivity training proactively because of something a 16-year-old new guy said. Oh, I would be so mad. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would mm-hmm. be so mad.
Sure.
But what kills me about this is that it definitely seems like the online space has not changed in however many years that I've been playing on it. And I'm just like, wow, people are still out here saying the same stuff, and it's awful. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many years ago was the PewDiePie thing? What was that, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Oh my God, which one?
The one when he said the N-word on stream?
The bridge incident.
The bridge in the PUBG. I feel like that was 2.5 years.
That was 2017.
Ago. Yeah, so 3 years ago. Yeah. Oof. And it's just like, people never learn. People don't change. People will always be able to say, will always lean into what they use in their common vernacular.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, this is something that just slipped out, da 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 da. In your personal time, you obviously have this word in your arsenal at the ready. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So you are out here saying it. It's not the question of, oh, I slipped up once, oh, I messed up. It's the question of what space are you involved in that you are saying this stuff, like just
blurting it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's man. So
this is exactly why I did not give Ninja an inch. Yeah. An inch when he accidentally said it while he was singing a song that didn't even have the word in it.
I've got opinions on the song thing, but when it comes to people just using the word flat out, I have no sympathy. This is like, and the reason the Ninja one, it's just like, you already know that you are the most, quote unquote, the most popular streamer right now. So you need to be extra careful on whatever you're doing on stream. So no sympathy there for that. But in general, for me, I know every person can interpret it however they want and, you know, do as you do. People singing song lyrics, I don't care. It's not done maliciously. It's like, right. Okay, so we'll just keep it trucking. There are other things to hang my hat on and to make my stand on that hill. I'm not going to get mad at
Junior Rodriguez. I guess what I was angry about... Yeah. Right. No. What? That's stupid. No. Yeah. I think what I got angry about it with Ninja was that he was singing a song that didn't have an N-word in the, like, I don't think at all.
Oh, really? Especially I didn't know that part.
In the area where he was, like, in the part of the song where he was singing along to, he, like, added the word in. Like, it wasn't there in the lyrics to begin with. So I was like, I get it, he was singing the song, but he put it in there.
But that's not in the lyric, therefore. Yeah. All
right, so yeah, okay. So in that case, what the hell are you doing? I retract my previously stated opinion. No, but for this kind of stuff, just what? This is, it's clearly indicative because it's not like he thought and then said it. He clearly didn't think, and then he said it because it's such a natural part of how he's behaving behind closed doors. So, then, as I said earlier, this just goes to show me that the internet space has not changed, and people just say whatever it is to get a rise out of somebody else, and then just, or just flat out don't care because they're anonymous. But, you know, when you're out here in front of a ton of other people, then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Will, you got any thoughts on that?
I have several thoughts.
Oh, yes, you do!
Yes, I have several thoughts. Because, you know, as we mentioned before, this isn't something that, you know, it's like, oh, this is the first of its kind. It happened with PewDiePie. It happened with Ninja. It happened with
like once a year.
Once.
Right, it happened minimum. With it happened with TFU over a word in which that one actually has, like, it makes sense. He was saying the raccoons, the person with the raccoon skin, but he shortened the word raccoon. And still, it was like, that is not okay. I would understand if this was like, hey, this is something new of its kind, especially if you know you're in that Fortnite space. You play that game, and I'm sure you're going online, and you're reading what's going on, what's okay, what's not okay. The N-word is never okay. I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, everything. That's me personally. I hate the word. I don't use the word. So whenever people try to do the whole, oh, well, why can only one person say it? Why not? Why are you trying to get to that level to where you can say it?
Right.
If it's what is that about?
Right. If it's that much of an argument, don't say the word. Just don't say the word at all, and you'll be okay. And so with that, and Dakota, you touched on it a little bit more. It's like if, you know, it isn't a word that you're just like, oh, you know, like instead of saying that word, you say frick or anything, you know, that's
right.
This is a word that, you know, and really what gets me bothered about it is that in, you know, the instance of like PewDiePie and in this one, you were using the word in response to basically to hate, to your reaction to a non-favorable situation.
Exactly.
So if you're using the word to describe someone and you clearly aren't feeling anything, you know, happy about it, you're not feeling a happy emotion, this isn't your buddy, this isn't your friend, you're using it in a hateful term.
Absolutely.
And, you know, part of this anger is also with the online reaction to it because, you know, of course you have some people where they're like, yep, okay, get it, he's done, already done. You have the middle people in the middle that's like, yeah, it's bad, but he's only 16. Like, are we really going to cancel him and stop his, you know, like his reputation and everything? And then, of course, you have the other side where it's like, well, I have friends that use it all the time. Well, why do black people get to use it?
I'm tired of having that discussion. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is so frustrating because I'm like, look, it isn't as if these people are using the word in that commonality, the, you know, where it's like, oh, well, you know, you use it with your friends and you use it in a friendly term. And that's why, you know, the A was switched for the ER to make it more friendly, however you want to go about it. I would understand, you know, I would give him just a little bit of the doubt if it was like, hey, he was hanging out with his friends and, you know, everyone's, you know, using it and everything. I say little by like, not at all. But, you know, in that instance, if it was, you know, in a casual manner, this was something that he did in his private life and someone just, you know, maliciously intended to, you know, quote unquote, cancel him, I would understand that argument there. But no, again, you said it in, you know, in the heat of the moment, in a moment that it was an unfavorable outcome, it was used as a term for hate. And again, going back, I agree with Dakota. I mean, if you feel so comfortable, like that isn't a word that you just like blurt out, like, I don't know why I said it. You've used that word before. You know, I don't want to put ageism in it, but I'm pretty sure with the age demographic and, you know, how you're playing the game and your history playing the game, I'm not surprised.
Snaps all around,
absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely.
Right.
Snaps all around. Did you know Offset was an investor in FaZe Clan?
I did not. I just recently saw him do that acting in whatever that show was, but I saw the clip on Twitter and I was like, huh. All right, but I did not know he was an investor.
I just found that out as I was looking this up.
Interesting.
So that's cool.
Yeah. That's Cardi B's money going to something.
Right?
Cardi B's money.
Yeah, that's what I said. What I said.
I said what I said. Yes. Oh my god. Okay. All right. Anything else for Dubs? Anything more?
No, it's nothing more. I just as a whole, I have my own opinions about esports clans, but it's nothing related to the race stuff. So I'm just like I think that there's a lot of like the clans hire people who are popular and don't do a lot of internal checks, then they just, it's like better to have the name now and not do the check and then have to deal with the consequences later. So I don't know where Dubs came from, how long he's been doing what he does, but it feels like, I don't know, there's a level of immaturity, so who knows what he's been up to for however long. Not to be like suspicious or anything, but I just think that there needs to be a little more HR cleaning when it comes to esports clan recognition, but that's my personal opinion on that.
Well, that's what the sensitivity training's for.
Yeah, proactive, retroactively though, and they're like, all members will get sensitivity training proactively, so it's happening now. It's going to be happening for future members, but it's not so much that it's a retroactive thing.
I always find the sensitivity training thing to be kind of, what's the word? Stupid. I just find it very, I find it to be pandering. I mean, if it's not like apparent that you shouldn't be using that word, perhaps you should not be on like a stage this.
I completely agree.
A symbol to other kids your age who want to do this thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. If you can't understand, like, we shouldn't say that about people. We shouldn't say that word, et cetera, et cetera. Or maybe you don't understand the history of the word, right? Maybe you understand that it's hurtful, but you don't know why it's hurtful. Like, you still in school.
I'm sorry. I disagree. I feel like at this point, because this is nothing new, everyone understands that the word inherently is wrong.
Very true.
You just have those people who are arguing for everyone to use it, therefore it won't be wrong, or you have people that's still going to use it despite the history behind the word.
Yeah, I had a level of understanding for people that were raised in rural areas before the time of the internet. And we're saying things, and it's like, sometimes they were just saying stuff because like, oh, that was the thing, but I never understood the, you know, the weight behind that term, and then they just like phase it out of their vocabulary. But now, it's a 16-year-old, they've been in the internet, they've not lived in an age without the internet, so they should be fully aware of what that means, why people don't say it, et cetera, et cetera. Right. It just, ugh.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. All right. Well, you know what, Dubs? I hope your sensitivity training comes in handy. And to the rest of you FaZe Clan and FaZe Clan adjacent people,
be on the lookout and be good. Be better.
Get up. Right. Push your chair back. Stand up. Yeah. Scream literally any other word except for the N-word. It's not okay. It's never going to be okay. There's plenty other ways to vent your anger.
I have a feeling some other minority groups would be upset about any other word being used, but I think that there's
you can throw the F word.
Don't yell slurs.
Avoid slurs. Let's agree on that one.
And if you don't know what a slur is for some fucking reason, let's use Google. Okay. There's a multi-billion-dollar program that you use every day to look up something else. Go and look up what slurs are and learn them all and don't use them ever. Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
There you go.
I'm glad we
there's the sensitivity. There's the sensitivity training.
That's it. That's all you need.
Google and a projector slide or a slide projector. That's all you need. That's all you need. Okay. We're going to start wrapping up the show now.
All right.
So, as we move along to the end of the show, we always ask our guests to give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be on the lookout for, or should they be playing? Either of you can start. You can flip a coin, whatever you got to do.
I can start. So, I mean, I won't plug too hard, but Avengers is coming out September 4th, so grab that, play that. That'll be fun. For those of you that don't know, the main character is Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Miss Marvel, and she'll be offering a really interesting play experience and insight into the world, so go give that a shot. Again, September 4th. But not to plug, there's going to be a cool game by by Harmonix called Fuser, and it's basically like making mashups the game, and it looks amazing, so I definitely recommend, that'll be out in the fall, so give that a peek. There's some videos online showing what play is going to be like, but definitely check that out.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. William, please tell us.
I am always, again, a big fan of Destiny. I know it has a, there's some people who are really diehard for it, some people who aren't. I feel, you know, not to get into, you know, a whole another topic, but I feel like with the live service genre, Destiny is one of those games where it has everything for any type of player, whether you like PvP, PvE, or if you just like to just, you know, just be in a video game world, Destiny does have that for everyone. Plus, it's always on, so feel free, you know, take some time away from it, come back to it when a lot of changes has happened, but that's the game that I recommend everyone play, or at least try at least once. It is free to play, although it does have some like microtransactions or anything, or you know, that whole issue, but you know, it's free to play. Try it out, see how you like it, and you know, that's the worst that can happen. You download it, you don't like it, you delete it, you move on.
Very cool. It is free to play. That's right, it is free to play. I've plugged this game before, but I'm gonna plug it again. If you ain't ever played Control before, I suggest you do.
Control is a good game.
It is a wonderful game. It has a really good story, amazing protagonist, and just a fantastic feeling of kind of creepiness that doesn't scare you. It's just kind of like a layer of ominous that feels just right. And if you like supernatural psychic bullshit, that's the game for you. Control by Remedy. They tweeted at me once. It was great. okay, and finally, to finish off the episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet, and if you wish to be found, and if you have anything else to plug.
You start off, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on Twitter, Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. You can find me at One Solo Player. And yeah, that's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah.
Is that O-N-E Solo Player?
Yes. Yes.
O-N-E. Spell it out.
Yes. O-N-E-S-O-L-O-P-L-A-Y-E-R.
Perfect.
There you go.
I don't know math, but I can spell it pretty good. Dakota, please let us know.
Yeah, I am on the internets as well. You can find me at DakoMatic on Twitter. Give me a follow. I tweet creepy art and share memes with Will and stuff like that.
I was gonna say, Dakota is wonderful on Twitter. Give him a follow. He is amazing.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, look forward to seeing any of you listeners out in the internet space. Again, that's at DakoMatic.
Perfect. All right. Well, as always, you can find me at CommyJace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter as well at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WK Cooldown for more news and other episodes. Be sure to check out the links in the description. Check out the Instagram page. I got that now. Check out the link that's in the description, including the Humble Bundle for this week. Support your favorite charities. Support the show. And also look out for a link for you to support the show without buying a game. It is called a donation, which is what I will receive from you, and I will thank you for it somehow. I don't know how yet. I've not decided how, but we'll get there. On that note, that is all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
I'm Will.
And I'm Dakota.
Awesome. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.